Hi, I'm Chris Lukianenko, and this is the Intelligent Workplace brought to you by LiveTiles. My chance to speak with the industry experts and explore the new ideas and technologies that are shaping and transforming the modern workplace. Live Smiles is a LiveTiles initiative designed to create a global community working together to make wellness at work an intrinsic part of our lives. The Live Smiles solution is technology built on top of Microsoft and LiveTiles platforms and is provided to every company globally at no cost. Live Smiles is not a product that is for sale. It's a movement to accelerate the discussion of wellness into an active and intrinsic part of work and to ultimately drive happier, healthier people at work and home. It's a combination of tech, expertise, advocacy, and community involvement. Live Smiles is driven and designed by its community. To find out more, click on the link in the show notes. On the Intelligent Workplace podcast, I'm exploring some of the technologies and concepts that are shaping the workforce of the future. But it's not just all about technology. There are other cultural and societal issues that are shaping the future workplace as well. Mental health is one of those such issues, and it is having a real effect on the workplaces of today. Global statistics on the numbers of people affected by mental health issues are confronting, and we must do more to address the problem. One such organisation raising the much-needed funds to provide support to those affected by mental health issues is Movember, a charitable movement that began in 2003, initially looking to raise funds to fund research into prostate cancer. Fast forward almost two decades, and the foundation that began with 30 mates growing moustaches to raise funds now boasts 5 million Mo Bros and Mo Sisters, raising funds worldwide to support a number of men's health issues, with a particular focus on mental health. One of the co-founders of the Movember movement, Travis Garone, joins me on this episode of the Intelligent Workplace to discuss the success of their movement and how we, as a society, are tackling mental health issues. Welcome to the Intelligent Workplace podcast, Travis Garone.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here, mate. Now, let's take a quick walk down memory lane with you. It's 2003 and you had, let's call it, a unique idea to raise awareness of men's health issues, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. You know, Luke and myself, or affectionately known as Lucky, and actually is quite lucky. You know, we had an idea. There was basically a simple thing in front of us that we kind of just wanted to disrupt the charitable space and create something purely for men, you know, sort of the old saying, by men, for men. And I think since 2003, we've just been running and trying to keep up with this thing, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Can I pick you up on, you said that Lucky was lucky. Why so?
Oh, look what he created, one of the biggest men's health movements on the planet. You know, I mean, he isn't always lucky. I beat him in the first Movember, in the first mustache growing competition. And, you know, I've sort of pipped him at the post ever since. So, you know, he is a big part of, you know, the sort of the ideation of Movember and the gift he's given us to the world, you know, men's health.
Now, as I said in the opener, you started off with around 30 mates growing it, but by around about 2007, you'd gone global with the movement and things really started to take off, didn't they?
Yeah. You know, in 2003, I basically, you know, Luke and I sort of let's just email everyone we know. And we, you know, probably out of 100 odd people, and again, this is, the internet was pretty fresh for us, you know, back then. You know, we got 30 guys, and fast forward to 2007, we were creating you know, the board of directors, which Luke and my brother, the CEO at the time, had sat on. This is that pure, you know, one of our biggest you know, success factors, I think, is the fact that we're just really naive to what we were trying to achieve. If we knew then what we knew now, you just wouldn't do it. You're just like, wow, too hard. Where do you even start? But we were just so fresh and bright-eyed and naive to what we were embarking on that in 2007, to get back to your question, we expanded into 7 countries throughout sort of, you know, the Northern Hemisphere in Europe. And when you think now about what it takes to get into one country, we did 7 in one year.
Wow.
And including running already established Australia and New Zealand, you know, and that was big. That was really big. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. We pulled it off.
On behalf of all the people that you've helped over the years, I'm so glad you didn't put this one into the too hard basket, because now you've got something like 5 million participants in the movement and a lot of corporate partners involved assisting you as well.
Yeah, we do. We've had, we've 5 or 6 million that we're aware of. They're the ones that actually physically get on and register on Movember.com or sign up to either growing a mustache, hosting one of our events, or you know, sort of doing the Move program, if you like. So, but then again, with these great Aussie blokes and dudes out on the street, you know, when you sort of meet a lot of people, you're like, oh, did you register? And they're like, nah, what's that? You know, what do you mean I registered for Movember? And so the number of people that have actually grown mustaches or sort of supported their loved one with a mustache is we just have no idea. You know, I presume it's a lot more than that. This is our 16th year, you know. So, and then, you know, obviously the corporate world and corporate Australia have been amazing. You know, Australians in every way, shape, or form are very, very special humans that, you know, really know how to give and support.
Yeah, it really has grown. I remember doing it back in around about 2006 and being in Hobart. You'd walk through the street and you'd see other guys growing these dirty moustaches and you'd just look at each other and just give a little nod or a smile, that sort of thing, knowing that you were part of something. It was great.
Yeah, the Mobro nod, you know, the little sort of, you know, the little, you know, drop of the chin just to acknowledge that I'm dealing with something as itchy as what you are right now. And then you got, you know, the Mo sisters that, you know, like a wink and a smile when you got this kind of creepy looking thing on your lip it goes a long way. Really, it really does, you know. Yeah. And I still do it today. I even, you know, on the way to work yesterday, there's a guy on a bike at the traffic lights here in Melbourne, and we both had a little grin to each other going, yep, I know what you're going through, buddy. No. For a good cause.
And it is a good cause, and sort of a bit of the more serious side of the things. I mentioned in the opener that the statistics on mental health issues in society today are quite confronting. Can you give us a bit of an idea of the situation that we're faced with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's very fair and reasonable to say that men's health is in crisis. You know, guys are dying too young. On average, it's about 4 years earlier than women. And there's no sort of real reason for that. There's no need for that, to be honest. You know, there's still stereotypes about, you know, guys not wanting to talk about, you know, their health and their problems. We've got guys definitely sort of labor under that stereotype, whether it's true or not. It's sort of still a hindrance. 3 out of 4 suicides are by guys in Australia.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, six blokes take their life every week in Australia.
Wow.
So it's, I feel sick just saying it, you know. You know, prostate cancer is still the most commonly diagnosed cancer in Australian men. Yep. 1 in 6 will be diagnosed by the time I think it's about 85 or something. I mean, survival rates are much better, you know, and they're improving. And now it's about sort of, you know, living with or beyond having the prostate cancer. You know, we also look at testicular cancer as well, which is the most common cancer in young guys.
Yep.
And I think it's just under 100%, like 98-odd% of guys with testicular cancer or being diagnosed, you know, will survive it. That's kind of not the problem. It's about that quality of life and everything that goes after that. So it's still, there's a lot to do, you know, and I talked about being naive from the start. It's once you sort of realize that, you know, these numbers are still so serious, you kind of realize that also millions of dollars are great, but it takes billions of dollars to really have significant impact. So I thought, and Luke, you know, we thought 10 years would, again, naive, huh? Like 10 years we'd only need to do this for, but we're realizing that you know, we've only just begun.
And it seems the other way, like in the last sort of 5 to 10 years, that the mental health issue that you also address seems to be getting worse and worse. Or is it just there's more awareness, perhaps?
There's a lot more awareness, which is a good thing, generally speaking. You know, I think anyone with serious mental health, you know, issues and problems don't want to always be reminded every time they sort of open their eyes to the world that, you know, it's a thing. But we have to do this. We have to. I think the numbers are getting worse, and we need to break down this stigma of masculinity and just get guys to feel comfortable that they can talk to someone. And, you know, one of the biggest things I've learned along the Movember journey is the fact that, you know, I wholeheartedly went into this thing going, you know, guys don't talk, and, you know, the old Aussie she'll be right, mate kind of mentality. Well, guys don't care about their health. You know, that was such a big driver for why we came up with, you know, growing a mustache and having this sort of catalyst for conversation, or this billboard walking around town. And guys do care. You know, they care just as much as the women in our lives, and they do talk. We just need to be able to give them a platform, give ourselves a platform and more of a breathing space to have the kind of conversations that we want to have with the kind of people we want to have them with. So, yep. You know, it's definitely all there. We live in a huge country, as you're absolutely well aware. You live in one of the nicer parts, to be honest. But, you know, it's a big place, distant, the tyranny of distance, and, you know, making sure that people can stay, guys can stay socially connected is a absolutely huge, important part of this.
It sounds terrible to say that it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, how much worse could it get? There are people dying, as you say, so often, and we've all been touched by suicide in our lives pretty much these days. It's crazy.
Yeah, it absolutely is, you know, and you know, I don't even want to say this, but I think it is going to get a little bit worse before we get better. And I think Australians are definitely of the mindset that, you know, stuff's got to get bad before we break through to the other side. So I know we're all a resilient bunch, but just the numbers, I just think of the guys that we're going to lose over the course of the next however many months or years, you know, and what we're all doing about it, you know. And that's, you know, I'm super proud of Movember's a big team, and I'm so, so proud of, you know, what we're just having a crack, right? We're just trying to leave the world in a better place than what we found it. That's all.
That's nice. Mm. Mate, it's probably hard to sort of put a number on it, but do you have any kind of idea on how the mental health issues affect, you know, businesses in terms of productivity and I guess ultimately their bottom line?
Yeah, as you say, mental health kind of, you know, it's there was some research out in October. I think it kind of, you know, basically stated that the Australian economy, you know, is affected through mental illness, and it's about, I think it's about $60 billion a year. Wow. I think it's a rough cost, business cost, you know, to businesses of around $13 billion in lost wages and reduced productivity, and, you know, and then obviously with all the support platforms as well. So they're big numbers. One in five people, I think it's basically, you know, pretty fair to say that will be affected by a mental health issue, you know, through depression, anxiety, being the two big boys. Movember's also done some research, you know, released some research in September this year. We sort of found that one in three employed Australian men fear that their job could be at risk, and that basically has a very direct relationship to mental health at work. So it's just, it's really prominent, and like you said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. We're exposing all this stuff. I think that's what's very good. It, you know, Australians general, you know, from the Pilbara and the mining sector through to, you know, the top of town in Sydney, everyone is willing to talk about this. And you know, I think that's the beauty of the Aussie spirit, that we're not afraid to, you know, have the tough conversations. I think we're all willing to have them, and, you know, we will need to have them, those tough, honest conversations with ourselves and the ones around us before we can make it better.
Yeah. What you're saying there about, you know, raising the awareness and we're having these conversations, like personally, it really has made a difference for me becoming more aware. I mean, it's interesting. I'm in my 40s. And for the first time ever in my working career here at Lifetiles, I was faced with a colleague dealing with a mental health issue. And I'll be the first to say that I was completely unprepared for it. And it was really challenging for me. But, you know, to Lifetiles' credit, they were 100% all in on supporting everybody involved. Are you finding that sort of companies are having to get with the program, if you like, and take this issue more seriously, because it's no longer good enough to be able to sort of bury your head in the sand.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I'm sort of the same. I'm mid 40s. Don't know the exact number, but I know there was some research, and I think one of the sort of the spikes in you know, suicide within men is in their early 40s. Yep. I've the same thing. I've sort of dealt with some very, very close, special people in my life that also have, you know, danced with the devil, so to speak. So it's, you know, companies have to, you know, they have to have show a level of, you know, care and responsibility and be prepared for the tough conversation, you know. None of us, again, it's very hard to say, you know, but when people are struggling so much and so courageous, huh, when you see colleagues and whatnot that get out of bed every morning and face the world, whether they are wearing their mask or not, you know, it's I think it's the other people that have the responsibility to understand and have the responsibility to check in with your colleagues or check in with your mates. And, you know, it's so easy to not check in. That's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It is avoid, you know, the path of least resistance kind of thing, or, you know, the kind of the niceties of, hey, mate, how you going? What's going on? How's the missus or whatever? Yep. You know, it's having those second and third questions, you know, that you can really sort of dig deep. And, you know, it's again, and I'll take this back, you know, prostate cancer. Someone said to me many, many years ago, oh, God, you guys made sort of prostate cancer sexy, huh? You know, it's now okay to talk about, and it's now okay to be, you know, go and get checked, and, you know, whether that's your PSAs or a physical exam, whatever it is, you know. And also researchers and whatnot, they used to go straight out of sort of, you know, university and medical school straight into like breast cancer or malaria because they're well funded. Prostate cancer is now quite well funded, and, you know, it's attractive for people, you know, smart minds to go and sort of tackle it. Mental health is the same, right? We're still in that awkward phase of trying to,
yeah, absolutely,
I don't know, expose it or make it a common, you know, common conversation, if you like, and from both sides, you know.
Mate, actually, on that point, during that time in my working life where we had this issue that we were dealing with, one of the guys who I, you know, really respect, he said to me when I was having trouble dealing with it, he said, "What if that person had cancer?" Or had lost an arm, was losing their hair, and you could actually see the pain that they were going through. Would that make you understand more? Would that change your reaction to his situation? And it was like smack him in the face with a bat. I was like, yeah, it would. It really would. But because I can't see what that person is going through, I really had trouble relating and understanding.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I think humans, we need numbers.
Yeah.
We need numbers in our lives to sort of help guide us, whether that's driving the car at a certain speed or, you know, knowing bank accounts or, you know, what we need some basic things to help guide us. And a visual aspect is a huge important part of, you know, how the humans move through the world. And when you can't see something or you can't label something, it takes a whole nother level of understanding and care to be able to want to understand. And you know when you hear the word cancer, what you've got. And mental health is still very broad. It's very specific to the individual, whether that's socioeconomical sort of, you know, aspect or age. Maybe it's, you know, sort of your sexual orientation. I don't know. It's so complex and it can't just be solved with one word, you know, or sort of one view of the world. It's really seeking to understand. And I think that's why it is so difficult. You know, I work in the world of branding and, you know, different subcultures. And, you know, if I'm working with a, you know, skateboarding client or a music client or a surfing client, you know, a bunch of surfers, they all kind of relatively look the same. They sound the same. You know, it's a tribe. It's a visual tribe.
Yep.
Mental health is such a thing that runs deep inside us that it's not visible. And the signs of, you know, maybe, you know, they say if, you know, you kind of notice the signs of a colleague or they're going to be quiet or they're not showing up to work, it's a very I don't know. You have to be very brave to sort of jump straight into, are you struggling with mental health? Yes. You know?
I'm hearing you. Yeah.
Everyone's got, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors in people's lives. And it might just be an issue with your loved one or it's something very simple. So you can't also kind of jump. It's tricky, yeah. Huh? It's so tricky. And it's a daily, it's a daily kind of commitment, yep, to be able to acknowledge and be sensitive and be aware of, yeah, this kind of stuff going on around
and
you.
And while raising money is a massive help to, you know, tackling this issue, it's not the be all and end all, is it?
It's definitely not. That original sort of inception of Movember was about starting a conversation. That's all it was, right? It was, let's grow Mo's, let's keep it simple. The mustache is our ribbon. It's our badge. It's our billboard. It's our advertising. It was kind of everything. And, you know, the phrase we kind of used to throw around, oh, we still throw it around, you know, is the mustache is a catalyst for conversation.
Yeah.
So the money, money is an evil thing, isn't it? It's, you know, it definitely moves the masses. It opens the doors. It allows you to sort of challenge and really kind of go after, you know, rally governments and different medical organizations and tradition. You know, that's the reality of life, but you need both. I mean, and millions doesn't do it, right? It is actually billions, you know, that it takes. I'm sort of thinking, you know, I'm going to have a mustache for a long time. having those conversations and changing behavior and then wrap that around with a lot of cash and, you know, we're in a good position to really, you know, leave the place in a better state than what we found.
What are some of the positive changes you've seen as a result of the efforts of Movember?
Listen, personally, I've got two uncles up in Darwin and very on, maybe in the 2007, 2008, these are blokes, you know, from the territory. It's tough at the top, you know, blah, blah, blah. And when my uncle goes to me, hey, me and all the boys went and got, you know, prostate checks and all this kind of stuff. And I just went, wow.
That is great.
This is Heart Australia, missed, right? This is the target audience of, you know, this is the target audience of Bundy Rum. And, you know, we've got there. So that was a very, you know, that was, I don't know, it was a real kind of little slap in the face to me personally to say, wow, okay, this is doing what it needs to do. It's, I think, you know, the challenging of, you know, the concept of masculinity and what that means today in every way, shape and form. I think that's amazing. We're doing, you know, the world's doing some great things to question and challenge and change in that regard. Conversations are a lot more prominent. Guys are getting, you know, regular checks. I think now it's about living sort of healthier, happier and longer lives, you know.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. And again, you know, we've got a huge demographic at Movember. We've got corporate partners that span very, very sort of different, you know, industries and sectors, if you like. I was always a big fan and very kind of always very much trying to make sure Movember appealed to everyone, you know. Why have one when you can have them all kind of mentality?
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Let's don't have, you know, I don't know. I think it was just for guys, you know, that really, and we've been able to reach so many corners of the country and the world. And hey, this, it's not Greenpeace or, you know, Red Cross by any means. And, you know, you kind of get lost in your own head sometimes. But, you know, there has been some significant behavioral changes in guys. And I think we could honestly put our hands on our hearts. And, you know, our tagline or our mission in life is to change the face of men's health. And it's definitely changing. It's really exciting to see.
Well done, mate. You're doing a great job. Look, it's funny. You're such an awesome advocate for this cause. I had plans to take this interview today in many different directions, talk more about businesses and technology, being that we are a tech podcast. But I just think the fact that we're having a conversation about these serious issues is probably enough for me. I think we've done our job here today and raising awareness for these important issues. But I want to leave you with one thing. Those of us that are in the workplace, you know, what can we do today, tomorrow, next week to help protect our friends, colleagues, families, whatever the case may be, from the black dog that is a mental health issue?
Yeah, you know what? I really liked your questions, huh? I think, like you just said, it felt very comfortable. So it is good just to have a general chat.
Yeah, it's been great.
And, you know, and to your point now, what are the simple things we can do from tomorrow? I'm a huge fan of keeping stuff simple,
yep.
Right? And to all the ladies listening, you know, men are simple creatures. All right, you didn't need me to tell you that. It's what we can do simply is actually really difficult, right? And it's hard. Check in, not out, right? Check in with your colleagues. Be a leader of encouraging, you know, conversations, you know, about the tough stuff. Encouragement to have these conversations, or, you know, reminding your staff or your colleagues that they, you know, they're not sort of being looked down upon or marked down just because they're willing to open up and say that they may be struggling in some aspects of their life. Reaching out, if you know, you're never gonna get slapped on the wrist or kind of scolded for checking in with someone or asking questions. People know how tough it is when they've got someone that's probably in a fairly good state of mind coming to them. It's awkward, right? From both sides.
Yeah,
and I think if we can just acknowledge that and park that, and
good advice.
Humor's a great thing. You know, Aussies are great at having a bit of wit or a bit of tongue in cheek, or, you know, it's okay to even, if you're getting to a really serious point with a colleague, it's okay to ask them questions about that end goal of suicide. Normalizing the conversation through seeking to understand is okay.
You might save someone's life.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And, or just being able to say, hey, I'll get online and research maybe some phone numbers we can ring together, or, you know, or putting them in contact with, you know, Lifelines or the Beyond Blues of the world as well. So,
sure. Yep.
I think it's, and as you've experienced personally, you can only do so much, huh? And
yeah.
And the other thing I didn't get to mention was, you know, you as a sort of a carer, if you like, for a better word, you got to make sure who's looking after you, right? Who's helping you?
Yep.
Because when you're put in these situations, and you put yourself in there more times than not, just remember that, you know, you've got to have some kind of support network around you as well. And because we all need, you know, people in the world that can help. And, you know, it's the carers are the ones that need a lot of love and support as well at the end of the day. So, but to answer your question, you know, simply check in with your mates.
Great words, mate. Great words. Look, thanks so much for joining me today. You've really opened my eyes to, you know, the serious issue of mental health in today's society. And, you know, hopefully those of us here at LiveTiles, we can help you in your efforts to raise a bit of awareness and look after those people who are suffering from mental health issues, or, as you say, caring for people who have mental health issues in their family or their workplace and maybe need the support of others to help those get through. So, mate, it's been a really, really important chat here today, and I've really enjoyed the time we spent together. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cheers,
really
mate.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining me on the Intelligent Workplace podcast, brought to you by LiveTiles. If you have any feedback or want to suggest a guest for a future show, email podcast@livetiles.nyc. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time.